I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Let's chat some midweek Premier League action. Shall we? Because we had a London derby yesterday that Chelsea decided not to show up to. going to throw that out there. Arsenal with a 5-0 thrashing of their intercity rival. This is a look at the top three right now. Arsenal sitting on top. But look at City just lurking down there in third with two games in hand. This is going to be a very interesting final stretch of the season in the Prem. But let's dive into yesterday's results. So 5-0, it's Arsenal's biggest win against Chelsea of all time.
Jeez.
Sixth time this season that they've scored 5-plus goals, and they have 82 on the season. That goal differential is crazy. And this one just, I mean, off from the jump, fourth minute, Trossard. It was as good and as lethal as Arsenal were in this match, Chelsea were
awful.
Just as abysmal. Lahoud, what was the narrative that you took away from this match?
Well, from the Chelsea perspective, because I love to hammer teams when they lose 5-0, it's Chelsea get battered everywhere they go, away from Stamford Bridge. They got battered on the day. It almost felt like as soon as that first goal went in, Petrovic, he should have done better. Then they crumbled. But these plays here from the likes of Martin Odegaard, Declan Rice, and Thomas Partey, I thought their midfield was cooking. The way they pressed, won the ball high up the field, it generated a lot of good chances.
Kai Havertz scoring against his former club. Did you happen to see Chelsea's X, like their social media accounts, when they were sort of going through like the goals of the game? Like they named every goal scorer except...
It was some serious shade.
The crazy thing is you're watching that game there and you're seeing how many Chelsea players are around the ball with every goal Arsenal scored, and none of them impacting the play or the game whatsoever. It's just, Chelsea for me were just boys yesterday. It was literally men versus boys, and that's what we say in England when you don't turn up. It was men v boys, and it was just an embarrassment. Arsenal were sensational. Martin Odegaard was on fine form. The passes that he was making, he really was up for it. Arsenal were doing what they have to do if they're trying to chase for a Premier League title. They have to stay perfect. It's as simple as that. But Chelsea, for me, were non-existent yesterday. You know, they started Alfie Gilchrist yesterday at right back, and he didn't have the best of games. And the fact is, again...
Yeah, Shield,
this is the biggest thing. Where is the leadership? And my thing with that is there's no leadership. One of their best leaders is Gallagher, who is in talks now where they're probably going to have to sell him because of the financial fair play to one of their rivals. If he leaves the club, we look at all the players left at Chelsea. Who embodies Chelsea, what it means to play for that club, the badge and everything that comes with it? There isn't no leaders, there's no identity. And for me, I just feel that they're an absolute embarrassment against Arsenal.
That was so bad yesterday. It's pretty representative of where the two teams are in the season. Arsenal is ravenous in this title fight, knowing they have to be perfect. They are ruthless. They struggled a little bit after the goal up until the beginning of the second half, where it felt like it was like, Arsenal, come on, put them away, because that might come back and haunt you. But they properly put them away second half, and Chelsea, the project is stagnant. the players look lifeless. Pochettino can't figure it out, and I think there's some blame there, but obviously there's a lot of blame on the ownership. They're not even billion-dollar bottle jobs at this point, because to be a bottle job, you need to be held at a certain esteem, a certain height.
Well, bottling, too, in like sort of suggests that you had some success.
Right.
Like, you did well, and then you fell off
now,
a corner.
Now
this has just been like...
They're billion-dollar busts.
It's good.
That's the new one.
It's very, very bad. There's no other way of putting it.
Nico, when you talk about busts, there are certain players in a project that embody that. You can't look any further than Nico Jackson. Mm. At the weekend, I thought that I hammered him, and I wanted to be cognizant of not to get too into it, because I love my African players. But this guy is a nightmare. Not a nightmare to play against, but he is becoming...
Okay, but let's be careful.
He's becoming a nightmare in the final third. Nice.
Okay, but let's just be careful with that for him, though, because I think he's got the same amount of goals as Didier Drogba in his first season, if I'm not mistaken. And this is still his first season.
This is a different kettle of fish here.
Listen,
this is a different kettle of fish.
He would not be used if Nkunku was fit. Let's be real. He wouldn't be playing down the centre if Nkunku was fit. Nkunku would probably be playing more, and there wouldn't be so much pressure on him to be a goal scorer. It's not his fault.
But if you look at the chances he's missing, right? There's confidence and there's just a lack of coordination. It's schoolboy stuff. He had two golden chances. The second chance, the worst of them, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. The expectations for Chelsea Football Club is not that of a project player. Didier Drogba came into a team that had other examples, the likes of a Frank Lampard, the likes of a John Terry.
It's not Jackson's fault.
You see potential in him?
I do see potential in him. I see potential in him, and I think that the whole season, when you're in a bad team, it's hard to be that individual. Take away Cole Palmer, for example, for Chelsea, right? It's not Cole Palmer FC. But the reality of it is, it is. Mm. You take away Cole Palmer and all the goals that he scored, facts-wise, stats-wise, Chelsea will be in the relegation zone. You take away all Cole Palmer's goals,
wow,
Chelsea will be in the relegation zone.
Did he make a difference yesterday?
He definitely would have.
For me, again, like I said, there's a lot of pressure on Nicholas Jackson. He's come into a situation where he wasn't the one to blame for that. There's all these young players in there. They bought for potential. Caicedo and Enzo Fernandez, to me, have looked like very average midfield players, where the combination value of two of them is over $200-something million. And they've looked average for the whole season. Yeah. They haven't looked like a partnership. To sum up Chelsea, let's look at the sign that a young kid put up to sum up what Chelsea is about. I think this really sums up what Chelsea is about, because this is the frustration that Chelsea fans must have with the players right now at Chelsea. They're not playing to represent the shirt.
Yeah, can we see that post?
Yeah.
This is savage.
This was damning. That's brutal.
It's the truth.
This has become the sum of a bad habit for Chelsea Football Club this season. It's not for a lack of not creating chances. And that wears on you when you get to an EFL Cup final, when you have Manchester City dead to rights. You don't take advantage of your chances. And that's why I hear what you're saying about the midfield, but Nicholas Jackson is part of the problem. When you look at expected goals, and I never like to put up expected goals, I know you're rolling your eyes about the stats, but when you look at chances he's created, yes, you set that up.
You brought up the stats.
You did, actually, you did.
I did not bring up those stats.
Yeah, you did.
But when you look at the chances created, and yesterday he had two golden chances, this has become a bad, bad habit for a striker who, okay, maybe wasn't going to be the main man, but he is the main man right now for Chelsea.
Right.
You get your opportunity, you're in there.
You're the main guy.
So when you look at that, there's only one other striker in the entire Premier League that has a worse conversion rate, and that's Dominic Calvert-Lewin. He plays for Everton, who in the relegation battle. Chelsea Football Club need to find a new striker. That is one of their
My pushback on that is the fact of he wasn't bought there to be the main guy. And Nkunku was bought there. Again, all of these things out of his hands. He's had to go into that situation right now. There clearly is not a togetherness. And just to take that with Arsenal, what we saw yesterday. One thing I must say I've been impressed with Arsenal is this. When you look at Arsenal throughout the entire season, there is a collectiveness and a togetherness in those players that I have not seen since a long time. And yeah, it reminds me of the Arsene Wenger days, where you used to play against Arsenal and you looked at them, there was an arrogance about them to say, mm-hmm, we know we're better than you and we're going to beat you. But when you look at Arsenal, when someone misses a chance, when someone does something wrong or right. They all band together. There is a collective unit there. When you look at Chelsea, we saw the penalty incidents a few weeks ago. You can see there's that individual situation going on at Chelsea where they're arrogant players.
They're not,
right to be arrogant. They're not on the same page.
Nope.
And look at the goals. They're all there defensively, but no one is impacting the game. They're just standing there like mannequins, and Arsenal is still cutting through them so easily. So I think for me, when you look at Chelsea, it's more than just the individual player. Still, he scored 10 goals, I think, believe, roughly, in the Premier League.
In the big
which
matches.
Is similar.
How's he done in the big matches?
It's fine. I'm not disputing that. He can still get better. But to just blame it on him, when
I'm
you look
saying,
at the... Okay, wait, wait.
I'm not saying
but when
that
you
it's
look
just
at Michael,
him.
That's one thing.
I'm saying that he embodies part
okay,
of the problem.
But you start winning championships for me, a belt from defensive, being solid defensively. Mm. Chelsea have not been solid defensively. They've been shambolic. So when you're conceding goals, and yes, you're not scoring goals, it's easy to say, oh, you're not taking your chances. Even if he takes his chances, they're still going to be conceding goals because defensively they've been shambolic without Thiago Silva.
I think that my rebuttal to that is if you take your chances, it takes the pressure off of being so good defensively. You still, like,
no,
this is
doesn't.
A club. This
you
is a club.
You have to defend. They're not good enough defensively.
This is a club, Nige, that when you look at how they've done at home in some of these big matches, they've left points on the table because they haven't been clinical enough. As I said, it's not for a lack of trying in front of goal, but trying gets you nowhere. The decisive clubs that are in the top eight, in the top seven, in the top five, four, and get two titles, they're nowhere near that because they are not clinical enough. Defensively, they're in shambles.
Defensively, they're
if Nico Jackson was scoring more goals, Chelsea would still have a lot of problems.
Thank you.
Because they do concede a lot.
They concede a lot.
Arsenal don't concede... like at all. They're it's pretty impressive their defensive record. And on top of that, they're extremely prolific. There are a bunch of problems at Chelsea. But I do agree with Lahoud in what Nico Jackson has shown us that it's not up to Chelsea's standard.
Okay, I understand.
It's not good enough.
I'm just
poor.
I know you're gonna get mad. I'm just gonna say, listen, that doesn't Darwin Nunez miss some very easy chances where he should be scoring?
That's
bro,
not
I'm
not
just
even.
Saying.
So
no.
much
listen,
more to the table.
Yeah.
Listen to me.
I will not tolerate Darwin slander at this stage.
I'm just gonna add to what Nico said. Nico is right. You talk about defensively, Chelsea still have problems. Arsenal have only been found out in the Champions League because we've complimented them how good they are defensively. And the only time when you're playing European competition where you need that extra bit in the final third, where it's not as easy to score, that's when they found their greatest weakness. While Chelsea still have conceded so many goals, they have not been great defensively. Even if they score, they are still horrendous. Watch the goals back from yesterday's game. Like, forget Jackson missing. That is defensive lapses where they are just poor. Boys versus men.
Mm. And wow. to that, just credit before we go to break. Credit to Odegaard.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
Unplayable.
Yesterday.
Unplayable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's scary good. Man, we're off to a good start today, guys. Great job. Great first segment. And we've got more Premier League action on tap today. Here's a look at the fixtures this afternoon to look forward to. Wolves taking on Bournemouth. Crystal Palace face Newcastle United. Manchester United take on Sheffield United. And a Merseyside derby. Everton hosting Liverpool at 3 p.m. Eastern on Peacock.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast. And I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.